Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, one of the most awe-inspiring locations in the world. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website, foundation@hearstcastle.com, to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
I'm your host, correspondent Tom Wilmer, reporting from Springfield, Missouri. Come along and join me as we explore cool things to do and see, from awesome mid-century architecture to a world-class aquarium. We'll meet up with Logan Aguirre, publisher of 417 Magazine, Mary Cromrie, executive director with Ozarks Greenways, education manager Audrey at Johnny Morris's Wonders of Wildlife Museum, and the City of Springfield's Director of Quality of Place Initiatives, Tim Rosenberry.
Hi, Logan Aguirre. I'm the publisher at 417 Magazine, which is our regional monthly magazine here in Springfield.
Lifestyle
magazine.
Yeah.
We call this area 417 land. Our area code is 417, and that's what we call our region here.
And that's your market reach primarily for the magazine?
Yes, Southwest Missouri.
Tell us a little bit more, mission statement, what you're trying to do, what you do.
Well, our mission is to shine a light. And so we can do that a lot of different ways. But really what it means is that we're trying to write about all the ways to experience life here and to show people why it's the best place to live.
And you have different departments within the magazine, like cuisine or...
Food and outdoor are number two things that people, they can't get enough of.
Every issue,
yes.
You're going to go there.
We actually recently did a survey, and we asked our readers some of their favorite things, and those were the things they named.
Mm-hmm.
But they were very clear to say outdoor things like walking, like they want to walk on a greenway trail. They don't want us to talk about, like, mountain climbing.
Right.
My name is Mary Cromrie, and we are in Springfield, Missouri.
With an exercise business right behind us.
Beside us, with one of our beautiful greenway trails.
This is really cool. So tell us about what you're most proud of, what you're most passionate about, what comes first to mind.
Oh gosh, I thought you'd give me a warm-up. Is that my warm-up?
That's it.
Is this an indication of things to come?
It could be, yes.
Well, when I think about what I'm most proud of in a professional context, and even just a resident here in Springfield, Missouri, it's giving folks an opportunity to connect with nature. I mean, we are in a beautiful spot here in the Missouri Ozarks, and sometimes it's easy to lose sight of the natural beauty that's around us.
So we just walked on an urban trail, right?
We did.
We went to our coffee shop by walking rather than... driving.
Yes, we just had a delightful stroll on a segment of our Galloway Creek Greenway Trail, which meanders through Springfield, Missouri, right along the Galloway Creek.
And it goes the whole breadth of town?
It doesn't quite go the whole breadth of town, but it's just shy of 5 miles, mm-hmm. and it's just a delightful opportunity connecting schools and neighborhoods, the creek, right? We have a nature center further down, and all of these great businesses like the coffee shop we're at.
It's really interesting. Because if you just be quiet and listen for a sec, you can't hear the sounds of the city at all. It's really insulated.
I think that's what's really remarkable about our expanding trail system here in Springfield, because it gives anybody that opportunity to be in nature in just a mere steps or a few moments. It's amazing what the sounds of nature will do for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely therapeutic.
Very therapeutic.
And you could even live nearby and just pop onto the trail, right?
Yes. That's what's been so remarkable to see, is that some components of our trail system have been adjacent to neighborhoods and schools. Mm-hmm. And as folks have fallen in love with it, then they start to make those connectors so that you can be sitting in your living room and head out your own front door, and that becomes a trailhead.
That's so cool.
To access the trails.
And again, it's more than just a walker trail. It's bicyclists.
Absolutely. We've got folks out here, you know, pushing baby buggies and on bicycles and skateboards and scooters, so it's super fun to see.
That's really cool. Okay, tell us a little bit more about what your title is, what you do, what your...
Sure. I have the opportunity to be the director for a nonprofit here in town. We're 31 years old. It's called Ozark Greenways. And our mission is simple. We want to build a trail system that connects and enhances our community. And when we talk about community, it's big C and it's little C. So that little C being able to leave out your front door and be on a trail and meet your neighbors, or where your children can meet their classmates. And then that big C is thinking about those regional connections, being here in Springfield and being able to hop on a trail and cycle to visit one of our neighboring communities.
That's really cool. So it's like a spider web interconnecting.
Right. Some folks call it a spider web. I've heard some folks call it a bowl of spaghetti. Because there's so many different trails and opportunities and options.
And that's a world that you're immersed in, but there are people out there that live here who don't even know about it.
Yes. I would say weekly, I still encounter folks who will maybe have been on a trail for the first time, and their sentence to me always starts, "I had no idea." Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So it follows that you guys probably brainstorm some events and ways to get public focus on what you
Absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely. Yeah. We do different types of events. We work with partners. Like, we want to build this trail system so that it's a resource and an amenity and an opportunity for folks. So we've got just oodles of running groups that meet, and cycling groups and walking clubs. And so that's just a really easy, free way for folks to connect with one another. And we've got to get back to that, right?
Yeah.
We've got to get back to connecting with one another.
And bird watchers, we saw the sign along the side for the birds.
Yeah, Southwest Missouri is just chock full of so much awesome wildlife.
It's on Flyway, isn't it, from South America to...
I think so, yes, yeah. It's so neat to see all of the wonderful things. And then off of one of our trails up on the north side of town, there's another nature center up there, and they've had trumpeter swans come in.
Oh, how cool.
So anyway, it's just really... we're all connected.
To learn more about your world, what's your go-to? Would it be Instagram or Facebook?
Yeah, we are on all of
website.
Those things. Check us out on our website, which is ozarkgreenways.org. We're also on social media, Facebook and Instagram.
Awesome.
My name is Mary Cromery.
Mary, thank you so much for sharing. This is
absolutely
a great Greenway morning.
Yes, please come back.
I will.
And then they love anything about food. So we were like, maybe we need to have some food walking tours and like combine the two things they love the most, walking and eating.
Did you pull that off?
Well, it's just a brainstorm. We'll see.
Right.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. TBD.
Yeah.
I love it. So tell us more. You do an editorial every issue?
So 417 Magazine is our monthly lifestyle magazine. Then we do a business magazine, which is Business Lifestyle, six times a year. The personalities behind the business. This is a huge entrepreneurial town. So many business owners or people like Johnny Morris, who founded Bass Pro Shops, or the O'Reilly family with O'Reilly Auto Parts. We have a lot of big legacy businesses here. They all started somewhere here.
O'Reilly's still live here too?
Yes, and they're very charitable and very involved in giving back here. And so we kind of have that entrepreneurial spirit.
Have you ever met Johnny at Bass Pro Shops?
I have.
Yeah?
And you know what? When I met him, he said, "Logan, thank you for what you do.
Wow.
I love your magazine, and it's really important."
That means a lot.
I know. Yeah. So it was at his opening of his big aquarium that you guys are going to go to. And actually, after he said that to me, his wife asked me how my dad was doing, because she saw on Facebook that he'd had a retinal tear and was stuck in Sweden. And that kind of really speaks to who they are. And,
that community engagement.
Yes. And the spirit of most everybody here is something that's that big, that's really about him, he and his wife turned it right back around and took the spotlight off of them.
Hello, my name is Audrey. I'm one of the education managers here at Wonders of Wildlife National Museum and Aquarium here in Springfield, Missouri.
And that's a part of a bigger facility, isn't it?
Yeah, so we are attached to the Granddaddy Bass Pro Store, the original Bass Pro Store.
In the whole world.
In the whole world. We've grown quite a bit since the original days. We are the nonprofit side of Bass Pro Shops under the Johnny Morris Foundation. We've got an array of properties, including Dogwood Canyon Nature Park, Top of the Rock, Ancient Ozarks Museum. Lots of really, really cool areas to learn about nature and learn about conservation.
And this was Johnny Morris's vision. Is that why it happened?
Absolutely, absolutely. So obviously he loves to fish and he also loves to hunt and he loves conservation and making sure that we keep what we've got around us as long as we possibly can.
That's cool. It's a huge physical facility, huh?
Yes, it sure is. So we've got about 1.5 miles of walking trails as you go through the aquarium. So from the start of the wildlife galleries all the way to the end of the aquarium and even including our new Nature's Best exhibit. We've got a ton of area for us to cover, and you get to basically travel all the way around the world and then back to Springfield, Missouri, all in one 1.5 mile stretch.
Including going to swamps.
Swamps and Africa and caves and the deep ocean and the coral reefs and all of the above. So
that's really cool.
Yeah.
So it probably goes without saying that you have school field trips that show up here.
Oh, absolutely. So we have what we like to joke as field trip mania in the spring when the teachers get all their grants approved or they have extra funding in the spring before kids head out for the summer. We have field trip buses lined up. We offer a special field trip rate for kids to make sure we can get as many young individuals in this facility as possible to teach them that message of conservation. And it's so important for us to get that out, not only to everybody, but especially the kids, because they are our future conservationists. So yeah, we definitely offer those field trip rates. We also run school programs here at the aquarium in our education department, anywhere from birthday parties to outreaches, library programs, large auditorium programs.
Wow.
We love to share the message.
Okay, in the time you've been here watching the kids, what are the things that most blow their minds?
Oh, I would say getting to touch a stingray, especially being a landlocked state. Not all kids that come here get the opportunity to travel outside of their city or their neighborhood, let alone across the world or to the beach or whatever it may be. So this really gives those kids the opportunity to see animals that they may not get to see in their lifetime. So really getting to get up close and personal, make those personal relationships with animals like stingrays or even our small horseshoe crabs. The kids eat it up. They absolutely love it. And when we do our education programs, we can bring in education animals, those animal ambassadors.
What are some of your favorite little ambassadors?
My favorite, we have a great horned owl named Bailey. He is a beautiful bird. He's definitely got the attitude, but he's an amazing, amazing animal ambassador, and the kids love him. We've also got some smaller owls, snakes, lizards, frogs, turtles, alligators. You name it, we've probably got it. We've got an armadillo, too. His name's Bebo. He's a three-banded armadillo, so he's pretty small. He's so cute, and the kids absolutely adore him.
Oh,
so
cool.
Yep.
Okay, how about two or three of your personal favorites, if we came here and had a half hour?
The entire facility or?
Yeah, everything here, you know,
you're
number one.
Yeah, so I would say that you cannot miss our Great Barrier Reef exhibit, as well as that first exhibit you walk into, our ring, our open ocean pelagic area. Just so many cool ocean species that, again, you may not even get to see if you go to the beach. So those are some really cool animals that we love to show off. And then for me, I would say in our galleries, getting to really see the conservation message. My favorite gallery is the National Parks Gallery, and it has small dioramas of a few of our national parks that we have here in the U.S., and they're just beautiful displays of nature and conservation, so I absolutely love that gallery as well.
That's cool. And you definitely work in partnership with other aquariums. Aquatic facility.
Absolutely. So we do have some different projects going on with some of our animals in terms of breeding programs and those kinds of things. So we do have some partnerships with other zoos and aquariums. We also have a sea turtle rehab release program. So a couple times a year we get cold stunned sea turtles, and they come in from the East Coast, usually in the Upper East Coast. They come in, they're cold, they're injured, or they're sick or something along those lines, we rehab them back in our quarantine area, and then we actually get the opportunity to release them back in the Gulf, and then they kind of find their way back to where they were, and sometimes it becomes a cycle, but hopefully they learn their lesson from the first year. And that's a really awesome program that I'm really glad we get to partner with, because it kind of brings all hands on deck. We get to involve some of the other departments other than just our life sciences department in that effort as well.
You have a university here, so it follows that you probably have some marine biology majors that
Yeah, so here in Springfield, yeah, we've got three universities.
Wow.
Well, three universities and then a community college, but yeah, our three bigger universities. I know that Missouri State offers some marine bio programs, but wildlife biology, outdoor rec, all of those conservation focused fields, we do lots of internships here in our life sciences department as well as our education. We've also got just lots of opportunities for people to come in and learn, whether it's, like you said earlier, field trips or coming in and doing a dissection or a program, anything they can do to get hands-on. A lot of people love to come in and do those things. So,
and again, you're connected to a whole nother facility. Tell us about what else is here.
Yes, so here we've got Bass Pro Shops, which is a mega organization at this point, started in a 8x8 square of Johnny's dad's Brown Derby liquor store, and he worked his tail off. Now he's got this, lack of a better term, empire.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And he, not too long ago, back in 2017, partnered with Cabela's and bought out Cabela's. So having that hunting and fishing and being able to put a lot of the retail revenue into conservation efforts and having a team of individuals who are working to lobby in conservation efforts and those kinds of things, I think is something that you don't always get from a founder and a CEO. So I think it's really, really awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, to learn more about your world.
If you are interested in coming to Springfield, Missouri and checking out Wonders of Wildlife or any of the other Johnny Morris Foundation properties or even that big Bass Pro store we just talked about, you are welcome to go to wondersofwildlife.org. We also have Google Maps, which will show you to 2600 West Sunshine Street in Springfield, Missouri. And again, my name is Audrey. I'm one of the education managers here at Wonders of Wildlife. Come check us out.
Audrey, thanks for sharing.
Absolutely.
As a member of the community, they're still very approachable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Isn't that incredible? What, 177 Bass Pro Shops?
It's incredible what he has created in one lifetime.
That's like, if it was a third world country, mm-hmm. it would be his own little domain.
Yes. Yeah. He's so creative and so generous to really give back here in creating these mm-hmm. wonderful destinations that bring people to 417 land. And you're going to get to see a lot of it in your time here.
That's really cool. A moment about O'Reilly, because that's a nationwide auto parts retail chain. And that, again, that's a local couple that started it.
Yes, local wow. family, and some of them still work with the business. A lot of them have gone and invested in other things that make our community really amazing, bike trails or the Big Shots Golf. So they've gone on and invested in other ways, mm-hmm. even if they're no longer part of the family business, they've just kept that legacy going by creating more reasons for people to want to live here.
That's really cool. They can't help it, huh?
Yeah, they're very charitable and, mm-hmm. and really good. So we have the business magazine for that, and then we have a home magazine that features beautiful homes and where you can get those things locally. Mm-hmm. It's really important to us that we're showcasing our local community and encouraging people to do business with their neighbors.
Well, speaking of homes, I drove by some of the most beautiful homes anywhere you'll find in America.
You could buy like three of them coming from California.
I know.
You could buy a great house here, a great house mm-hmm. on Table Rock Lake, and still have money in the bank.
That is crazy.
Beautiful homes here, and it's so easy and affordable to live here.
But that literally, they're Hollywood sets of just this classic old, long gone Americana.
Yeah, we have a good mix of new and some of those beautiful historic neighborhoods mm-hmm. that you're mentioning.
Hi, my name's Tim Rosenberry. I live in Springfield, Missouri, and I work in city government. I am the Director of Quality of Place Initiatives. That's a position in the city manager's office that looks after the whole notion of developing quality of place in our community.
Dig a little deeper on what that translates to in daily function.
Right. Well, you know, you go to a town and you drive through it or you walk through it, you go to their downtown or you go along their corridors, and there's towns you go through and you say, boy, this is just a nice town. Mm-hmm. I'd like to be in this town. I'm responsible for making sure that our community is one of those first kinds mm-hmm. of communities.
Community of quality of place, it's so multifold.
It is.
It implies events. It implies infrastructure.
Well, and I have to choose the fronts that I'm working on mm-hmm. simply because it is big.
Yeah.
And what I have to do is develop coalitions with others who can help co-create a quality community. So professionally, my background, I was a practicing architect for 40 years here in town. And then I went over from the private sector to the public sector mm-hmm. to do this. And so my work is mostly around doing certain projects, infrastructure projects that are much more than just pragmatic infrastructure. I'm involved in plans and policies. I'm also involved in going out and spreading the word in the community about this. So I'm kind of an evangelist, mm-hmm. an advocate mm-hmm. for placemaking.
Talk to us a priority bullet point on your desk. You know, what is your 1, 2, 3, the list of things that you would like to tackle?
Well, I think the first thing is that in our community, we're trying to develop more complete neighborhoods. And what we mean by more complete neighborhoods is that you can live your life in that neighborhood if you wanted to.
With community neighborhoods serving businesses?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's a 15-minute walk to just about anywhere mm-hmm. and anything. The food is available there. The barber, the hairstylist, the nail salon, the school, certainly. Mm-hmm. And so that it is a complete neighborhood.
I know my travels around the country, one of the biggest complaints in a lot of communities are what they call food deserts
right.
in certain neighborhoods.
Yeah.
There is no grocery store.
That's right. It's part of what's happened with the food economy. In fact, one of the things that we were talking about, we meaning people on city staff, was what if we thought about Springfield as a food town? Mm-hmm. Not necessarily, though, when you think of saying, oh, well, Springfield's a food town. Oh, well, there must be lots of great restaurants, and we'd love to have that. But what we're thinking more about is that we're a food town where the citizens know where their food comes from mm-hmm. and where they're going to get their food.
Would that also include farmers markets?
It includes farmers markets. Mm-hmm. It includes local grocers. It includes national chains. It includes fast food.
Sure.
And it includes cafes and restaurants.
Somebody earlier today involved in city government tourism and whatnot was talking proudly about the re-advent of neighborhood corner grocery store.
You know, 10 years ago in Springfield, if you had gone into a neighborhood and said, you know those old buildings over there? We're going to bring new life to them, make that one a cafe, and that one might be a microbrewery, and that one might be a salon. 10 years ago, neighbors would have said, wait a second, you're putting commercial uses in my neighborhood? Well, there's a couple neighborhoods in Springfield, older neighborhoods, that's exactly what happened. Now they're kind of the envy of all neighborhoods. Again, this is this model of a truly livable neighborhood. And I guess what I want to say about that is this isn't anything new. It's something that's been around a long time. And then in the 20th century, we suddenly devalued it, let it go, and normalized the opposite.
Well, you're saying you have prima facie proof and evidence that this reincarnation of that old way of community living is back.
It is back in Springfield, and it's going to be part of our competitive advantage. You know, Springfield really took off with its growth after the founding of Route 66. That was in the 20s. So in the 30s and 40s, that's when Springfield really took off as a community. And so it's not that kind of dense, older town. Mm-hmm. It's more of a suburban community that's emerged in the middle of the 20th century. And so we don't have a lot of those great old neighborhoods, but the ones that we do have is our competitive advantage as a core community as opposed to the satellite communities that have emerged around Springfield.
Mm-hmm. How do you evangelize and propel that?
Well, I'm doing it right now. But I'm also making many presentations to leadership development groups, to civic clubs. I'm going to be meeting in a couple of weeks with an investment group. I think part of it is just by being available and believing in what I'm doing.
That passion.
Well, yeah, the passion and I think and that respect for place. You know, Springfield, again, as a mid-20th century town, doesn't really have the degree of distinct places that I wish we had. Mm-hmm. But there's a new admiration for it, because the other thing that's going on with Springfield is that we're a city, market area of about 500,000. Our local population itself is about 170,000. But we're a city in the Ozarks. And that right there, a city in the Ozarks, mm-hmm. is a paradox.
It is. Yeah, oxymoron.
Yes. Yeah. And at first you go, well, what do you do with that? Mm-hmm. You can do everything with that. I kind of liken it to eating sweet and sour food. That combination of two things that are almost opposite, mm-hmm. come together to make something unique and memorable.
Well, and the other one in my mind, what a great base camp for day trip explorations. In 45 minutes, you can be way far away.
You can. And
all the way to Branson.
Well, we have lakes, mm-hmm. we have streams, we have woods, we have incredible trails. We have so many things. You said base camp. That's a great way to put it, Tom, because mm-hmm. you can be right here, go out for the day, come back, and have a great evening experience.
An urban downtown dining.
Exactly, exactly. So it's really the best of both worlds, and mm-hmm. that is that kind of taking advantage of the extremes that we have here.
That's really cool. Back to your primary focus.
Oh, yeah,
mission.
That. My job.
Yes. Your day job. Yeah, again, we've got one bullet point out of the way. Think of another close to your heart. What you would like to see happen, transformation in Springfield.
I said a few moments ago that Springfield really took off with Route 66. Mm-hmm. The reality is that even still today, many of our major thoroughfares, our corridors that you experience, are old highways that a suburban community grew up around. And these highways are still controlled by the Department of Transportation.
Of the state.
The state. And their interests in thoroughfares in cities are different, perhaps, than people in the city's interests
are. So it's called Take Back the Streets, right?
It is.
And is that possible?
Well, I think one of the things that I've learned is that MoDOT, mm-hmm. our state transportation department, has developed a renewed or new appreciation and emphasis on pedestrian infrastructure as well as vehicular infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And so I've also heard that called transportation equity, you know, the transportation for all. And that starts to begin to suggest more placemaking, because now we're finally going from automobile and truck scale to human scale, the kind of experience that you can have with your body. Mm-hmm. That just seems to be a lot more engaging than going along on a placeless road.
And bicycles, that's got to be a growing demographic.
We have a huge bike culture mm-hmm. in Springfield. Anymore, whenever we build a street in Springfield, we're making sure that it has bike, pedestrians, runners, that it allows for dog walkers, mm-hmm. that it is a complete street and a complete neighborhood.
And another companion to that are the e-bikes.
Yeah. I was driving down the street the other night, and I thought, oh, there's a bike. I better slow down. And then suddenly he just took off. And he was pedaling, and then yeah. he stopped pedaling and took off. I thought, okay, I got to get me one of those. Yeah. I've got to get an e-bike.
Pretty cool. All right, before we go, I used to work vice president of construction activities in a design-build architecture firm.
Yeah.
And so it's close to my heart and remains so. And one of the first stop me in the tracks moment in this town of Springfield was your historic architecture and a classic examples of mid-century.
Yes.
I mean, wow. What a miracle.
Yes.
As many that I saw has survived untouched.
Again, that's part of why we developed at the time that we did. And there's still examples of early modern architecture. So, yeah, in Springfield, I think because of that Route 66 tradition and all that, there was a lot of development in the mid-century, and a lot of those buildings remain. And I think that's one of the reasons why modern architecture was accepted in Springfield maybe more readily than it might have been in more established communities. And so architects emerged who were really good at developing that kind of natural rural Ozarks aesthetic and re-expressed in a contemporary way.
Do you have any thoughts of doing architectural, even walking tours?
Well, there are every now and then. The challenge is what we need to do is maybe do bike tours because we're just not as dense a community as many others.
So more territory to cover.
Certainly driving tours. Mm-hmm. And there's Route 66 history tours and things like that in Springfield that are kind of fun.
And let's go back to 1890s, 1920s in Springfield. There were some beautiful, classic architectural specimens built in the neighborhoods that are still there.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Yeah. There are some mission style and shingle style and rustic kind of that national park style architecture, homes on streets. And a lot of that comes out of the fact that there's so much field stone around here. And so the field stone is that orangish, whitish, chippy stone that is stacked up. And it becomes these really toothy kind of walls and chimneys and fireplaces.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then the beauty of those neighborhoods is the benefit of 100 years of aging, where you have these fully mature deciduous trees that create this magical park-like streets.
It's amazing. Some of our old neighborhoods, like the Roundtree neighborhood, comes to mind. Phelps Grove, that developed around Phelps Grove Park, is exactly what you say. The trees are glorious. They're gigantic, and they seem to just want to protect everything that's underneath them.
Yeah. And a local who knew us from California said, well, you know, we have one over here that's over $1 million. And that's like starter garage where I live. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, the real estate values. We do receive a lot of people moving in from the coasts to come. They just want to get away from the rat race and have a place here in this part of the country. One of the things that attracts them is the property values, well, the property costs,
right,
and what you get for the money.
You get a mansion. you do. Yeah. You know, and then on top of it, one of the things that I've learned quickly, you could palpably sense it traveling around town, is the energy that's infused because you're a university town.
Now, think about this ratio. We're 170,000 in population. We also have 40 to 50,000 students when school's in session.
Because you have more than one university.
We have several universities and large community college.
So college kids rule.
Yeah, they do.
In a way.
They do.
They can set the tone.
You know, and that's the interesting thing is that we've built this community for a lot more people than live here because we have a lot of people who commute in to work, and then we have the students. Then there's the nighttime population. And so it makes summers and breaks in this town are just so nice and peaceful.
Understood. I'm from a university town. It's like, yay, they're gone for the summer.
But I love what a university does for a community.
Oh, yeah. Well, the music, arts, entertainment,
sports.
Alone.
Yeah. Yeah. And just students who come in with their ideas. And any time that we can welcome students into the life of the community benefits.
Yeah. Well, I know where I live, the kids at the university, the last thing they do before they leave is try and find a way to stay post-graduation.
That's one of the things that I've been charged with doing is help make this town so attractive, so livable, that people who come here don't want to leave.
Yeah.
So one of the things, though, that I've learned in doing this work is that, yeah, you want your town to have great arts, great shopping districts, great restaurants, mm-hmm. great sports, great schools. You want all those great things. But all of those things, at some level, represent consumption. What are you doing for me? But living in a community also requires a certain amount of contribution. And so when I go out and speak to community groups, that's one of the things I talk to them about, is that if you want this to be a nice town, join me and be a co-creator in making it livable.
You're getting buy-in and getting people's willing to contribute?
Yeah, I am. Because really cool. There's a lot of people who say, you know what, you're right, and this town is worth my time. Mm-hmm. Not just for me to go out and get whatever I want from it, but I want a relationship with my community. And so that relationship means it's both take and give.
That's really cool. Okay, before we go, parting thoughts. What's closest to you? What would you like to make sure you shared with me?
Well, one of the things I realize that I'm doing, I'm 65 years mm-hmm. old. One of the things I realize I'm doing is that I'm working on things that I probably won't see completed in my career.
So their legacy.
I won't see them completed in my life. Yeah. And I'm not designing things for my preference. Mm-hmm. I have granddaughters, and I'm really thinking about what their children are going to want. And that's the kind of city that we're trying to rebuild here in Springfield.
That's really awesome. So if somebody wanted to learn more about the world of Springfield and its viable future, where would you direct us?
Well, our city's website is springfieldmo.gov. And I think that there are several sub-web pages on there that have some projects that we're doing, like mm-hmm. Grand Avenue Parkway. .com is a new street that we're rebuilding that connects a museum to downtown. We're doing LakeSGFMasterPlan.com, which is where we're taking an old reservoir and power plant and converting it to a recreational space on the southeast side of town.
Including the old building itself.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you talk about mid-century architecture. Mm-hmm. It's a very cool power plant, also from 1957. The other site that might be worth going to is forwardsgf.com, and that is our new comprehensive plan that we're rolling out.
Awesome.
My name is Tim Rosenberry, and I'm from Springfield, Missouri.
Tim, thank you so much. Talk to us a little bit more about your publishing world. You have your home-focused publication, mm-hmm. your business. You try and do actual in-depth features
yes.
on the people so you learn something.
We used to do enterprise reporting a couple times a year. We'll do some big deep dives like that. Mostly it's really personality driven. And what's great is we don't have to do real news mm-hmm. on any of it.
Yeah.
And so we don't ever have to talk about bad things.
You can have
it's
fun.
A really great job.
Yeah, we need more.
Because we always are talking about good things. And we really get to be the place that people know they can come for mm-hmm. good news and things that are hopeful and ways to connect, give back. Our readers really want to know how to get involved and give back. And that was really important when everything shut down in 2020. We really mm-hmm. felt like our mission was to produce daily content that pointed to something that good that was happening here.
Even more important.
Yeah. And our team absolutely loved having that charge that every day we had daily digital content that had something positive about it.
And that's where I was going next. You maintain and retain, because of your subscriber base, a print publication that people love and
yes.
they like holding it. We were just had a CEO that came out holding your magazine this morning.
I love that.
So you also, though, have an immediate digital online presence.
Yes.
Talk to us about that world and how that works.
Well, all of our content is easy to translate online. And then, of course, we have our own digital content. So making sure that we're always keeping up on restaurants. We have a weekly food e-newsletter about all the great foodie mm-hmm. things happening here. We have a calendar of events e-newsletter every week. We have a business e-newsletter every week. And then through all of our social channels, constantly pushing out content. So it's a way for people to stay connected in between the print publications. But really across the country, city and regional magazines are doing really well. Mm-hmm. And it really is because we don't have to do news. You can get news so quickly. We don't have to do that.
Yeah.
And so when you're telling stories about people and their communities and helping people feel that connection, that really stands through a lot of things. We'll celebrate 25 years next year.
So I imagine you have a nice balance of graphic visual layout of mm-hmm. nice large photos, but also what, 500 to 1,000 words maybe per feature?
Yeah, we usually do one big feature per magazine, mm-hmm. and then we have a lot of small blurby things that are fun to read.
Tight.
And we have beautiful photography. We have really talented in-house photography and also hire freelancers. But you'll see this is such a beautiful area of the country, and we just have really awesome outdoor photographers that capture some beautiful things. One of my favorite cover stories we ever did was the best swimming holes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so this is like swimming hole country.
And you guys had to go experiment.
Yes. And like some of the swimming holes, you have to give very specific directions how to get there, because it is like turn by this one path, get out of your car, then walk 20 steps this way, and look for this hidden swimming hole. Mm-hmm. And it's still one of our top content hits every month. They're just still coming to the swimming hole story. So
that's really cool. Talk to us for a moment about your more instantaneous, your social media, and what works best for you in the magazine.
Well, for us, if you're watching us on social, especially Instagram, I want you to feel like we're everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so actually everybody on our team has access to our login. And we just are asking them, because everybody on our team is out living a great life here. Mm-hmm. And so we are just asking them, post to the stories, just kind of keep it coming, so that if you're watching it over the weekend or something, you feel like 417 is everywhere. Mm-hmm.
Do you use Facebook at all?
We do. It's just a little bit different. That's more where we can post out articles that we think, you know, in
don't you find
things.
That the demographic is older than your magazine demographic for Facebook people?
Facebook and the magazine are probably pretty similar.
Parallel.
Our core audience member is about 47
years
really? Old.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Female. We've named her Beth, so we created personas for her. Everybody on our team is really young.
Uh-huh.
A lot of recent grads out of college.
Wow.
But they need to write for Beth, who is in a totally different stage of life and interested in different things.
So that's their...
It helps us.
That's their challenge.
Yes.
That is cool.
So when they want to do an outdoor story and they want to do primitive camping, we say, do you think Beth would go primitive camping? No, Beth wants to stay in the glamping tents at Big Cedar. Okay, that's what we'll write about. So it just kind of helps.
A reality check
for everybody.
That's brilliant. Yeah, you need to come up with like a big portrait of her.
Of Beth. We have a Shutterstock picture of her.
Okay. So I think
and her fake family.
You need to have one of those great... where the big families would commission the artists, you
we
know?
We should. That would
painting,
be so funny.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they all would have white gloves on.
Our biz, his name is Doug, our biz persona. So when we're planning for biz, we're wondering if this is what Doug wants to read about.
That's brilliant. And then how about, do you ever use Twitter? Does that play a role?
A little bit. You know, when you have a small team, you sort of have to decide where you're going all in.
Yeah.
So we do a little bit there, mm-hmm. but that's not where we've put a lot of resources.
Yeah. And as a business, do you go to LinkedIn?
LinkedIn, I need to do better on. It's another one that, to do it right, takes a lot of thought.
It does, yeah. Because you got a high bar audience mm-hmm. that's reading you, number one.
Yeah.
But number two, one of the things I love about it is that legitimacy.
Yes.
You know, there's something.
I love LinkedIn. It just goes back to you can only focus on so many things. So for our brand, we're meeting our audience where they are. And for the most part,
Instagram,
Facebook and Instagram can meet them. Now, for Doug, we probably could do more on LinkedIn and Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Doug would like that.
But with Beth being our number one, we're trying to meet Beth where she is. Yeah.
That's precious.
Yeah.
A lesson for a lot of lifestyle magazine editors. You know, the bar is here. Oh, I love it. All right.
Yeah.
So to learn more about your world, where would you direct us?
417mag.com.
That's too easy.
Yeah. Luckily, we bought that a long time ago.
And
my name is Logan Aguirre, publisher at 417 Magazine.
And I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Missouri. We'll see you here.
You've You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So yes, please support your local NPR station.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, one of the most awe-inspiring locations in the world. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website foundation@hearstcastle.com to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
Why don't you go where Harlem sits? Port and other ribs. Spangled gowns upon a bevy of high brown from down the levee, all misfits putting on the ribs. Why, that's where each and every Lulu Bell goes every Thursday evening with her swell bow rubbing elbows. Come with me and we'll attend their jubilee and see them spend their last 2 bits putting on the ribs.